motivation to obey God, we'd love to hear from you. Does it matter whether you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? It absolutely does. Hear about the consequences of denying the resurrection when you join us for part two of our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Friday, on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh radio program. So good to spend the next half hour with you here talking about God's Word and the goodness of God. And, you know, a lot of people might fixate on different things, but I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And so he's not only the one who begins the process, he's the end stage of the process, everything in between. And if he started a good work, he's not going to quit until he has his purpose accomplished. So we thank you for tuning in. Do want to say, as you are participating, or for those of you who are participating, this week is the offering fundraiser here at WMIE. You can, if you want to participate, you can call 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000, and that is going on this week. If you would like to partner with WMIE and helping them over the next 6 months to raise the funds that are necessary to continue broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the Brevard County area and around the globe through their internet simulcast or on-demand feature, podcast-style type thing. We're very, very thankful for all of their technological advances. And one of the things that they have done between the fall offering and the spring offering is to, now they have the technology available for you to communicate your pledge or your faith promise for the next 6 months to WMIE, text WMIE, to 24365. WMIE text to 24365. And then that will take you to another page, and you can let them know that you are going to be partnering with them for the next 6 months. So I want to encourage you, we're not that far away from Resurrection Sunday, and I want to encourage you to be proactive in encouraging your neighbors to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Easter Sunday is going to look like, I can't tell you, but I know this: you can't cancel Easter. It is a historical fact with a modern, current, contemporary ramification, and that is Jesus is alive. He's sitting on the throne. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And there's nothing that is able to stop that from being a manifest truth. And so with this situation that we've been dealing with going on, I know that young people are still invincible, but a lot of other people are being very protective of their health. We only get one body. And so there are a lot of people who've given some thought to some things that maybe had escaped their attention for a while. So with that being said, do be reaching out to your neighbors. If you know somebody who is elderly who can't get out, be that person that offers them, offers to assist them in getting groceries or whatever they might need. That will be a huge, huge blessing. So anyway, let's go back to Psalm 51 today. Yesterday, I think it was, it might have been the day before, I don't remember. But we were talking about purge with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And I was telling the story about the road right there by our church that right after it was repaved, that there was a can of paint that was dropped on it. Well, I want you to know I was right about the purple. It was purple. I drove by and looked at it again just to refresh my memory. What I was wrong about was it wasn't just one can. There was another paint spill in the exact same location. There's a stop sign there. And so I would imagine it was sitting there. They stopped, and when they took off, boom. And there was a can, not only purple, but there was also brown paint there. And again, I will just tell you that whatever sin we have committed, generally it's not, I'm not a one trick pony. I've had, you know, sins of multiple, you know, classifications, if you will, that I'm not proud of, but, I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus, doesn't matter if it's purple, doesn't matter if it's brown, doesn't matter if it's mud, doesn't matter if it's blood, doesn't matter what it might be. If you and I have committed sins, the blood of Jesus is able to wash it away and restore us to that place that we can have relationship with him. So anyway, just thought I'd give you an update and a more accurate description. The last time we were here, we ended with, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Isn't it interesting? Let me read verse number 10 and we'll read on down to verse number 17. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the blood or from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So, isn't it interesting there in verse number 11, where David is pleading for God's mercy, that the thing that he is concerned about is not his throne. He doesn't say, oh God, please, just don't take my throne away. Just don't take my throne away. Because that's not of the utmost importance. You've got to remember, you know, the mindset of the people who wrote the Psalms is, you know, if I can just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, that's okay with me. David had started off as a shepherd, ended up a military commander, and advanced to the kingdom, to being king of the land. And the most important thing of his life when he was in the fields was that God's presence was there. And the most important thing on the battlefield was that God's presence was there. And the most important thing when he was on the throne was God's presence. David rejoiced when the ark was brought into Jerusalem. He loved the presence of the Lord. And now, at his lowest point, this is even lower than Saul trying to kill him. This is David had self-destructed, if you will. David had positioned himself in a place that Saul could never put him in. And in his repentant heart, he says, don't take your presence from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I just don't want to live without your presence. He said, you know, I would rather fall into the hands of God for a few days than I would rather fall into the hands of men for months on end, or go through years of famine, because God is a God of mercy. And when David cried out for mercy, even at that point in time, he received it. That was when he took a census of the land. Verse number 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. If our sins have been forgiven, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we should be more inclined to joy than any other emotion. We should be more joyful than angry. We should be more celebratory than bitter. We should be more grateful than unthankful. We should be thankful more than disappointed, because God has been there and brought about great, great victory in our life. I wonder, you know, what is your demeanor when you're not trying to impress somebody? I mean, is it somber? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being serious. I had two serious bones in my body. They took them both out when I was 11 years old, when I had an accident with a ring. I'm missing a couple of finger joints there on my ring finger. Who knew that those were the only serious bones that I had in my body? I now get serious a few times a week. It's when I'm preaching, and even that's intermittent there. I try to keep people pretty engaged in my communication. But there's nothing wrong with being somber, as long as you remember the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't just think that's the joy. I think it is the joy in having relationship with the Lord. He's on the throne and he has taken care of everything. That's what gives us the strength to accomplish the tasks that we're supposed to do. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So when most people, when they get saved, they feel as if a huge burden has been rolled off of their shoulders, because a huge burden has just been rolled off of their shoulders. There's tremendous celebration. The party that goes on around the throne room of heaven, it involves all of heaven every single time. And so I want to put it in perspective for you, that there's people giving their heart to Jesus around the globe every day. And so heaven is the ultimate party place. It is a celebration that is going on, celebrating the victory of Jesus over sin, and empowering us to live a life that is healthy, that is sound, that is vibrant, and that is filled with joy. If we have lost that first love, it's not God's fault. And we need to pray that God would restore it. So I pray, whatever you're going through right now, you'll have a flashback, you know, you'll have a throwback Thursday type moment where you go back and you remember what it was like when you first found out this tremendous offer of forgiveness of sins that God has given to us. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. So I still remember the very first time that I saw my wife as not just a member of a group. I still remember the big old smile that she had on her face. I remember how much she radiated joy on our wedding day. And, you know, I pray that you won't lose that joy that God places not only in your relationship with him, but your relationship with other people. I can remember the joy. It was a not a fully informed joy, but it was a joy finding out that I was going to be pastoring Merit Assembly of God. Didn't even know it existed, didn't know what it looked like. It was before I had a cell phone. I'm sure some people had cell phones. The job I had just a few years before, intranet was just becoming a thing. And so the electronic marketplace wasn't all up and running. There wasn't a whole bunch of people that had websites or things like that. And so there wasn't any way to see it online or see what its reputation was or anything like that. But just the joy of being entrusted to pastor a group of people. I remember that. You might, if you think back, you might remember how much joy you had when you found out you were getting a job so that somebody could tell you when you could show up and when you could go home and how much you were going to get paid and all that sort of stuff. And what a joy it was. I got a job. Well, the joy of salvation is even more than that. It's the joy of eternity that has already started, and it's just going to continue to get better and better. David said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." I pray that the church will have a fresh revelation of what it's like to have the joy of salvation living in our heart. "Uphold me by your generous spirit." You see, David recognized that God was not a miser, but he was a benevolent God, a generous God. He's not a God that just rations out things here and there. He is the God who is more than enough. He is the God who can do more than we can ask or imagine, and not by a little bit. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think or imagine. David knows that it's the Holy Spirit that upholds us at times and keeps us in place when our natural tendency might be to run. The Holy Spirit says, I'm gonna hold you. You don't have to be afraid. Okay. Right now, I pray that the faith of God would grow exponentially in your life and in my life. He says, David makes this vow to God. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted." David's mindset was not just one that was, "God, take away my sin because I just don't want to suffer or anything like that." It wasn't that. David's mindset was, I've got a new lesson I can teach people. It's not just about us. Hopefully there's somebody that listens to this program, that this half hour that we spend together every day, that it makes a difference in your life. And it's not just that it's saints teaching saints. That's not what David said. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your way because I know the misery that they're in." David might have tried to cover it up, but in reality, he knew something was missing. That's why he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." He knew he was miserable. You see, sin promises ecstasy and it delivers misery. Sin promises that your life is going to be better, only to find out that you have made your life exponentially worse. And the only person that can change that situation is Jesus. Now, all of us have sinned, And we need to remember that there are people currently in the same condition that we used to be in. Paul wrote to the church and he said, such were some of you. Okay. It doesn't mean that we are looking down our nose at other people who are not where we are. It's that we remember the God who brought us out. And now we have faith and confidence that he is able to bring them out. And he says, God, when you answer my prayer, it's going to result in people's lives being changed forever. Okay. Verse number 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. Again, David, just because he was the king, was not exempt from the ramifications of the law. And one of the things about the law was that if there had been a person that was murdered by another person, that person's family could come and insist on that person's life being taken since that person had murdered this other person A. If a person had murdered person A, person A's family could come and say, look, he needs to die for what he did. That even included the king. And so David says, God, the only way that I can get through this is if you deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Now, I want to tell you, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he has done that. When you ask God to deliver you, he will do that. So I want to encourage you to not continue to beat yourself up with with revisiting things over and over and over again. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be celebrating that God gave us the victory over that we didn't experience the end of the journey, if you will, like some are clamoring for. You see, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. It never says that the things that he accuses us of, that they're not valid. You know, he remembers the things that we did that were sinful. And he's all too ready to constantly bring those things up. I know people that you cannot share any of your shortcomings with, because if you do, they will remind you of those things. They will use them as a weapon against you instead of allowing for the grace of God to be demonstrated in your life. I know people that God has totally, radically transformed their life, and yet there are people who still remember them for their sins, not for the things that God has set them free from. When God delivers you, you'd better be thankful. Because David was, he said, my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. So we are gearing up for Palm Sunday. It will be this Sunday. And the one thing about Palm Sunday is it's known for that. In case you don't know why Palm Sunday is Palm Sunday, the people would take the palm fronds, they would lay them on the ground as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. They gave him a messianic royal entry into Jerusalem. And so that's why it's called Palm Sunday. They paved the road with palm fronds. And so it was the Sunday before the resurrection. It was the Sunday before Good Friday. And so on that day, there were people that were really ticked off that these other people were praising God. They were praising Jesus. And they said, tell him to be quiet. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And Jesus' response was this. If these do not praise me, if they keep quiet, I tell you that the stones are going to cry out because it is a time of praise. I think it would be good for us to remember that we need to praise the Savior who died for us so that we could live. The one who shed his blood to wash away our sins. The one who raised from the dead so that we too will one day be able to experience the resurrection into the presence of Almighty God. The one who right now is at the right hand of God and is interceding for you and I. If you need another reason to praise God, you've missed it intellectually. You've missed it spiritually. The time to praise him is right now because he has, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we're talking about here. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's he talking about? He's talking about canceling our blood guilt. Paul knew what he was talking about. You see, when he was still Saul, he stood there and watched as a saint was martyred. And he later on says, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners because I persecuted the church. It wasn't just one. That just happened to be the trigger event. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church even more. And God in his great mercy interrupted him on his journey and said, I need to change the course of your life. And your life is going to be a lot better off for it. You know, the world has slowed way down. The rat race, I mean, it has come to a grinding halt. There are places, you know, there have been places you couldn't go, things you couldn't do, things that were open all the time haven't been open, and places that are pillars in the community, they've had to adapt to and change to a new situation. And I think it would be good for us if we remembered to praise God because he's been very good to us, even when we did not deserve it. I pray that you will not delegate praise and worship. You will participate in praise and worship, and you will praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me end the program today a little bit differently. I want to remind you about the offering that is taking place here at WMIE. You can call Paul 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000, or you can text WMIE to 24365, and you will be able to text to give. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.